So in case you haven't picked up, we've been thinking this morning about waiting. And waiting can be a hard thing to do. We heard about some of the things we were waiting for earlier on, especially when it's something you're excited about, something you're longing for. So maybe some of you have been, there's a present you've been promised for Christmas, and you're just not sure you can wait another whole 8 days before it comes around. So quick. Or maybe it's the joy of seeing friends and family at Christmas time, over the holiday period, people that you don't see very often, but you get to see them at Christmas time. And waiting and longing can sometimes be very hard things to cope with. We heard earlier on in the service about some of the things that we'd waited for, sometimes for long times. Ruth waited 6 years for her motorbike. I suspect there are other things, though, from earlier on that we didn't mention. Maybe some longings or waitings that we've had for a very long time. Longings perhaps that we think, actually, the reality is we don't think they'll ever be met. Some painful longings that we might have. That sense that goes round our mind again and again, I wish. I wonder what it is that you long for today. Not something that can simply be wrapped up and placed under the Christmas tree to sort out that longing, but the real stuff of life. Those things that your heart turns to whenever there's quiet. What do you long for? See, right at the start of Luke's gospel, in his account of Jesus' life, Luke introduces us to two people who have a longing, two people who are waiting. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priest division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. Zechariah and Elizabeth. We met Elizabeth earlier on. An elderly man and his wife. Good and godly people who love God very much. And yet, their lives concealed a very deep pain, didn't it? A deep longing. You could hear it there. They were childless. Because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. They longed for a child. They had done all their life, their married life together. Month after month, they would have sat there thinking, is this the time? Is it now? And then the crushing disappointments once again. The aching sadness that comes back again and again for them. I've known some friends who have been unable to have children, and I've seen something of their pain, and it's awful. There may well be some of us amongst us this morning who are experiencing or have experienced that longing. See, the Bible doesn't shy away from the realities of life. And actually, even in the joy that we will see for Zechariah and Elizabeth as they are promised a child, there's an acknowledgement there of their struggle and their hurt. For others of us here, I would guess the issue may not be childlessness. Perhaps it's the longing for someone to share life with. Perhaps it's the longing for a body that no longer hurts. Perhaps it's the longing for the healing of emotional scars. Perhaps it's the resolution or the restoration of relationships damaged long ago. See, in a broken world like our one, there will be something for each of us that we long for. Well, listen to what happens next for Zechariah and Elizabeth. I wonder what you're longing for. See, the Christmas story is not just the story of a cute baby and a manger scene and the chance to sing familiar carols again at this time of year. The Christmas story is actually about the Lord meeting our deepest longings. And this is what happens next to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembly of worshippers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear, not surprised. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth, even at their advanced age, are promised a son. They're promised an answer to their prayers. And perhaps not surprisingly, Zechariah struggles to take this in. He says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. He put that very gently, didn't he? But the angel's insistence, this will happen, Zechariah. The good news will come to pass because God has spoken. And so a little later, we read this. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. You can hear the joy in Elizabeth's declaration, can't you? You can hear the overwhelming joy that's come to pass. And it's not simply the joy that any woman feels when she first realizes she's pregnant. No, it's a deeper, more profound joy for Elizabeth. Because she has waited so long. Because of so long this has been denied for her. A child to the barren woman. It's a beautiful story with which to begin his gospel, isn't it, for Luke? It's a beautiful story. You can't fail but rejoice with Elizabeth. And yet the reality is, I would guess, that for those of us maybe who still deal with childlessness day by day, for each of us whose deep longings remain unmet, as we lift our heads from these pages and the joy that we see with Elizabeth, and we look back at the reality of our own unmet longings, where are we left at the end of it all? See, just as those who struggle with the horror of childlessness do genuinely rejoice when a friend becomes pregnant, that joy, that pleasure felt for others, is bittersweet. Because once again, it comes with a reminder of their own lack. So is Zechariah and Elizabeth's story just that for us? Beautiful but bittersweet. How nice of them that their longings were met. But what about me? Well, there is beauty, certainly, isn't there? And we see that a little bit later on. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, and her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. It's a wonderful picture. Elizabeth's joy could scarcely be put into words. Neither could Zechariah's, but then he couldn't speak, could he? Not until the child's name is confirmed as John, and then Zechariah bursts into song, as we heard earlier on. Well, why not? I mean, after all, this is his greatest longing, isn't it? His deepest desire has suddenly been met in a miraculous way. The source of all his pain and hurt and confusion over so many years is suddenly dealt with. Why wouldn't you sing? But wait. Listen to his song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to redeem his people and redeem them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, his promise. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." See, as I've reflected on Zechariah's song over the past week, I think it may be one of the most astonishing passages in the Bible. Stop and think about it. Surely Zechariah's greatest desire has just been met. His longing and the source of all his pain over so many years has finally been addressed. He has a son. his deepest longing has been realized. Surely he will celebrate with a song about this son. And he doesn't, does he? He doesn't. You would expect this song, wouldn't you, to be all about John. My son has finally come. What a wonderful gift. Thank you, God. But in fact, the only mention of John in the whole song comes in verse 76, when he talks about John preparing the way for another. For the Lord. For God himself. For Jesus, who will come. The one who comes to fulfill the promises made long ago. The one who comes to bring salvation and forgiveness of sin. The one who comes to bring the mercy of God. The one who comes to bring light to those living in darkness. The one who comes to bring joy to those in the shadow of death. The one who comes to bring peace with God. What are you longing for? What do you think stands in the way of your joy and your contentment, your satisfaction and your fulfillment? See, Zechariah and Elizabeth long for a child. Understandably so. And in just these few verses that we've read, Luke has eloquently communicated the depth of their longing and the frequency of their prayers and their discomfort before others, and their lack and the hurt that they experience. He doesn't diminish the reality of their pain at all. And yet when that longing is finally met, it's not what Zechariah concentrates on. His focus is on the birth of the Lord Jesus. Because you see, Zechariah realizes that he has a deeper need. He has a deeper longing. He has a deeper desire even than his yearning for a child. It's a desire that each of us actually carry within us. Although we may not be able to describe it exactly, it's a longing for more. It's a sense that this is not enough. It's a desire for fulfillment and satisfaction, which despite our best efforts, is never met by anything in this world. However hard we pursue it, and it will not be met by anything that we long for. See, the birth of John is good news and is cause for great joy. The coming of Jesus is better news. And the reason for real and lasting joy. It's better than the gift of a child to a childless couple. It's better than the gift of health to a dying man. It's better than the gift of marriage to a lonely individual. It's better than the gift of emotional restoration for a hurting soul. It's better than the healing of a relationship where conflict has endured for so long. You see, that's not to diminish the difficulty of any of those situations. They are painful and they are a result of a broken world, but Christmas is better news because it meets our very deepest need. It meets our deepest longing. It offers us a solution to this broken world, not just a way to cope with it. Christmas offers us a solution to this broken world, not simply a way to cope with it. To the childless, it offers belonging to the family of God and the tender care of our Heavenly Father and the promise one day of an end to all tears and suffering. To the sick, it offers a renewed body in a new creation to sing and to dance with the God who loves us. To the lonely, it offers the presence of the Spirit now, walking with us day by day, and brothers and sisters to bring comfort and joy amidst pain. And a multitude one day to gather with in glory. To the hurting, it offers healing and acceptance. It deals with our guilt and our failure, and it promises justice for the sin that is done against us. It offers a solution to the broken world, and it offers a solution to our broken selves, because it offers forgiveness for all that we have done wrong. It offers us freedom from guilt. It offers us restoration of relationship with God and the joy of knowing and being known just as we were designed to be. It offers life in the face of death. See, Christmas is not an escape from or a distraction from the reality of our broken world. It's the celebration of the birth of the one who brings us hope. It is God stepping into our world to meet our greatest need and our greatest longing. We were designed to know him and to enjoy him. And until we do that, we will never be satisfied. Whatever it is you long for, until we know God, you will never be satisfied. Jesus came to make God known and to restore our relationship with him. So So what are you longing for? We live in a broken world and we experience the reality of that brokenness in loss and in conflict, in loneliness, in hurt and in pain. And God steps into the brokenness of this world to bring light in darkness. And so Zechariah sings for joy. What are you longing for? See, Jesus offers what you need and what you long for. He offers relationship to those without. He offers love to those who've been rejected, peace to those who are in conflict, life to those who face death, and he offers forgiveness to those who have not lived as they should. He offers forgiveness to those who have not lived as they should. And that is why Christmas is the best news for each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Father, we find waiting hard. Lord, sometimes it brings excitement because we know that there is something wonderful coming. And sometimes it just brings pain because it seems there is no answer. Father, please would you help us as we seek to wait in the reality of this broken world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to be a part of this world. Thank you that in that sense our waiting is over because hope has come. Thank you for the peace and joy that you offer, for the comfort and joy that we sung of earlier on. Father, we thank you that you offer us the opportunity to find satisfaction and joy and hope in you, now in the present and even more to come. Thank you that one day the Lord Jesus will return a second time and will put an end to all of the pain and suffering that we experience and will take us to be with him as we have trusted him now. Lord, please, would you show us more of the wonder of Jesus, that we might find our fulfillment and satisfaction in him, our comfort and our joy, even as we walk in the midst of the brokenness of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.